And then we have the Bodhisattva vehicle, okay, which has the same five paths, but they're meditated on in a slightly different way. So the first path, the path of accumulation, to enter that, okay, before For the Hearers and Solitary Realizers, they entered their path of accumulation by having the determination to be free from cyclic existence. Bodhisattvas enter it by having the altruistic intention to become a Buddha for the benefit of sentient beings. And again, not just having the bodhicitta flash through the mind, like when they cultivate the motivation at the beginning of a session or something, and not just having it be an artificially created one, but it's an altruism that is deep and profound, constant day and night, spontaneous, effortless. So it's actually possible to develop that in our own mind. I mean, there have been all these beings who've done that, and they've entered the Mahayana, or the Bodhisattva path of accumulation. So that's the demarcation line, the spontaneous bodhicitta day and night. Pretty big realization just to enter into the first path. Now, you can see that motivation is like this incredible strong force. You know, it's not just I want to be free of cyclic existence. It's I want everybody to be free, and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to become a Buddha. Okay? And one has that really deep, profound, not artificial day and night. Yeah? So the mind's very, very powerful, even when one enters into the path of accumulation. Okay. Then on the path of accumulation, you do lots of meditation. You do many different kinds of actions to create positive potential. And at that time in your meditation, where you have a correct conceptual understanding of emptiness, that is the union of calm abiding and special insight. Okay. So similar to what the hearers had when they entered their path of preparation, but the bodhisattvas are doing it with the bodhisattva's motivation and with the bodhisattva's accumulation of positive potential. Okay? So the realization is like, it's really powerful. Yeah. Because you see, the thing about the bodhicitta, that motivation, what it does is it amplifies the positive potential in the mind. Because when we create positive potential, it's done in conjunction a lot with not only our action, but the motivation for the action. So if you're motivated to help one being and you make an offering to the Buddha, you get the good karma, the positive potential of helping one being. If you're motivated to help all sentient beings by becoming a Buddha, you get the positive potential that accumulates from having this motivation to help all beings. Okay? So this is why, you see, we develop the bodhicitta motivation over and over and over again before we do anything, because it enhances our mind. It gets our mind very clear about why we're doing something, and it also becomes very powerful so that we create an incredible amount of positive potential. You know, our mind gets really enriched very quickly. So it's the difference between using a cheap fertilizer and a really, you know, a number one. Okay. Then the bodhisattvas continue to meditate on emptiness. When they have direct perception of emptiness, non-conceptual, okay, so again, their samatha and vipassana, their calm abiding and special insight, is direct at this point, instead of just conceptual, as in path of preparation. When it's direct, then they enter the path of seeing of the bodhisattva vehicle. And at this time, they begin the process of removing the different levels of obscuration from their mind. Now, the path of meditation, they're familiarizing themselves with the realization of emptiness. They're also accumulating a lot of positive potential through the practice of the six far-reaching attitudes. actually one is practicing the six far-reaching attitudes all throughout the whole path. Even we're practicing them. Okay, generosity, ethics, patience, joyous effort, concentration, and wisdom. Okay, even we're trying to practice them. But on the paths of seeing and path of meditation, a bodhisattva perfects them. A bodhisattva completes them. Okay, why? Because they have a very powerful mind at that level of the path, path of seeing and path of meditation. They have not only the spontaneous altruistic intention to become a Buddha, but they have direct perception of emptiness at the same time. And these two realizations together completely transform generosity. Okay? So, I mean, you can be generous and give an apple, you know, a three-year-old can give somebody an apple. But it's a very different act than if a bodhisattva gives somebody an apple. Okay? Because a three-year-old's mind, assuming the three-year-old isn't a bodhisattva, it's just, here, Mom, have an apple. Or, here, Dad, have an apple. A bodhisattva, you know, it's like their mind is giving this apple, but with the intention to become a Buddha for the benefit of all beings, and with a realization of the emptiness of inherent existence of oneself as the person who's giving the apple. The apple is the object that's being given, the giving of the apple, and the recipient of the apple. You know, in other words, realizing the emptiness and inherent existence of the whole scene. And yet, although it's empty of inherent existence, you know, the giver, the gift, and the recipient, still all of these things are dependent arisings, and they appear like illusions. And so a bodhisattva, when they give an apple, has this complete, you know, incredible understanding going on in their mind as well as their motivation. So their generosity, you see, that's why we say, you know, they really perfect their generosity. They complete the perfection of generosity. They complete the far-reaching attitude of generosity. Okay? So what we're doing now on our level is we're hearing about how they meditate, and we're trying to do it in a similar way. We're trying to do it according to our level. We're not bodhisattvas yet. Okay? Don't sit there and emotionally beat up on yourself because you're not a bodhisattva. If you were a bodhisattva, you wouldn't be here doing this right now. Okay? You are what you are. It's good enough. It's fantastic. Okay? But we can still improve more. Yeah? So we listen to what they're doing, how they practice. We try and do it, you know? We do it a little bit, we forget it, we don't do it right, we get lazy, you know, we do it, but it's kind of weak, slowly, 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 slowly. You know, it's like a kid learning to ride a bicycle. It's like when we learned how to read when we were kids. Slowly, 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 but you do it, step at a time. Okay? So that's kind of what we're in the process of doing. Now, between the path of seeing and the path of meditation, there's what's called the 10 grounds, okay, or the 10 bhumis. You will hear this terminology again. Bhumi is a Sanskrit word. It means ground, okay? And these are different levels of realization that are interspersed between the path of seeing and the path of meditation. And on each of these 10, you perfect a certain quality. Okay? So on the first of the 10 grounds, when you're on the path of seeing, you perfect the far-reaching attitude of generosity. The other 9 grounds are all on the path of meditation. So the second ground that you perfect is that of ethics. Yeah? Second far-reaching attitude is perfected as ethics. Then one perfects the far-reaching attitude of patience, then the far-reaching attitude of joyous effort, the far-reaching attitude of meditative stabilization or concentration, the far-reaching attitude of wisdom. Okay, that's the usual list of far-reaching attitudes, the six. But we can also talk of 10 far-reaching attitudes. So we're adding four more. Yeah. So then the seventh one is skillful means. Okay. Then prayer. Then power or strength. And then deep wisdom or deep awareness. Okay. So you see there's these 10, in this way, 10 far-reaching attitudes. There's 10 grounds. One perfects them gradually. In the process of doing that, one is removing all of the deluded obscurations from your own mind. In fact, by the time you start the eighth ground, you've finished with the deluded obscurations. Beginning of the eighth ground, you've finished with the deluded obscurations. And on the eighth, ninth, and tenth grounds, you are purifying your mind of all of the obscurations to omniscience. And then, at the end of the tenth round, you enter into what's called the Vajra-like meditation, meditative stabilization, or samadhi. And at the end of that meditation, your mind is completely purified of the deluded obscurations of all the stains on the mind, which are the obscurations to omniscience. And at the end, you become a fully enlightened Buddha. Okay, and that's the path of no more learning of the Bodhisattva vehicle, is a fully enlightened Buddha. And at that time, one gains all these qualities of the Buddha that we just finished talking about. At that time, one's mind becomes the truth body. One automatically has an enjoyment body and all these emanation bodies. Okay? So this is a whole process of cause and effect. This whole description is cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. Yeah? It's like, planting a seed in the ground and the seed grows. And each moment of the seed growing and becoming a sprout and growing bigger and bearing flowers and bearing fruit, it's in a sequence and it's cause and effect and it just gradually happens like that. Okay? So this is the kind of path that we're starting upon. Okay? So we can see, when we hear this kind of thing, I think it's a very good way for us to gain some faith that it's possible to do this, because we can see that it's all set out in a, step one, step two, step three, step four. So we don't need to get confused. We don't need to get perplexed. What do I practice? How do I do it? What do you realize? Blah, 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 blah. It's like all these people have done it beforehand. Yeah. So they write out the information sheet on how to do it. Yeah. And that's what all this is. And they say, you do this, and then this happens, and you do this, and you do this, You start out in Seattle, you go south on I-5, look out for Boeing, because then you're going in the right direction. Yeah, you go further, and then I forget what you find, You see the sign for Olympia, you see the capital. Okay, I'm on the right way, I should expect this. Yeah, so you have the directions, the landmarks of the different things. Yeah, so that's kind of what this is. It's set out for us. So, that's talking about I didn't tell you about all the qualities of the bodhisattvas. I have to do this. Then I'm sure you'll get really confused. When somebody becomes a bodhisattva of the third path, the path of seeing, okay, at that time, they get this set of 12 qualities. And they can behold 100 Buddhas. They can receive inspiration from all 100 of these Buddhas. They can live for 100 eons. They can see 100 eons into the past and the future. They can enter and arise from 100 samadhis. They can vibrate 100 world systems. They can illuminate 100 world systems with their radiance. They can make 100 sentient beings ripe for realization. They can travel to 100 pure lands to Buddha. They can open 100 doors of Dharma, the giving teachings. They can emanate into 100 bodies, and each of these bodies is surrounded by 100 bodhisattvas. Because on the second bhumi, it's 1,000. Okay, look, why it's not 99 and why not 101, I don't know. Okay? Okay, in the second ground, all these things happen, but it's 1,000. In the third, it's 100,000. The fourth, 1 billion. The fifth, 10 billion. The sixth, 1 trillion. And the seventh, 100 quintillion. And they didn't give me the numbers for the eighth, ninth, tenth. But you can get the idea that our mind has some pretty incredible capacities if we use them. Yeah. Now, if it seems like, what are you talking about? Me be able to do this kind of thing? Well, even the scientists say that we use what percentage of our brain cells? Like 2%. Some very small percentage of our brain cells. Yeah. So even if the scientists are talking about our underused capacity, you know, this is also talking about it in the same way, that if we free our minds from certain limitations and start using our potential and capacity, you can do this too. So that kind of concludes talking about the qualities of the three jewels of the Buddha Dharma Sangha. Okay? You know, tonight we covered in specific the qualities of the enlightening influence of the Buddha, and then the qualities of the Dharma. And then we went into this rather lengthy explanation of the qualities of the Sangha so that we can see the paths and the cessations, the Dharma, that the Sangha actualizes to become Buddhas. Yeah? So you see how you begin to see how the three interrelate also. So knowing this, you know, then when we say I take refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha, it's like, wow, well, I know what I'm saying. Yeah? And I know something about the qualities of those that I'm looking to for spiritual guidance and to be my example on the path. Yeah? And we also know the kind of help we can receive. We also know what we can become ourselves.